On April 9th, I attended a webinar given by the Crane Research Coordinator at the International Crane Foundation, Anne Lacey, an authority on sandhill cranes. This was a thrilling experience for me because a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Madison, Wisconsin, Anne was my own student, a charming and studious fourth grader who seemed serious and focused beyond her years. I don't deserve any credit for Anne's successful career. She was interested in birds and nature before she ever stepped into my classroom. I'm sure she made a stronger impression on me than I did on her, and so seeing her wonderful webinar was a most satisfying experience for me. I'm going to be highlighting some special birds during these dark times. Thanks to Anne's webinar, I've decided to make the sandhill crane the first in this series. The word crane is from Middle English cran, akin to Old High German crano, and was first used before the 12th century. Cranes are featured in mythology and art of many cultures, so people almost certainly came up with words for them very early in human language development. Linnaeus gave the sandhill crane its scientific name, Grus canadensis, in 1758. Grus is Latin for crane. But DNA research published in 2010 established that the sandhill crane and three other species belong to an entirely separate clade from other members of Grus. The American Ornithologists Union placed those four species in a brand new genus, Antigone, in 2016. So now the sandhill crane is Antigone canadensis. Sandhill cranes are hefty birds, averaging about 4 feet from tip of beak to tip of tail, roughly the same length as great blue herons. Sandhill cranes have an average wingspan of 6.5 feet, great blues of 6 feet. The crane's slightly wider wingspan is necessary to support its heavier body. Sandhill cranes vary in weight, depending on subspecies, from almost 7 pounds to 14 pounds. In comparison, the heaviest great blue herons weigh only about 5 pounds. How the weight is distributed in a crane's body compared to a heron's explains the two species' different flying postures. Sandhill cranes pick at a wide variety of slow-moving food items. Their bill is substantial but needs nowhere near the structural heftiness that herons require to slam their bills into thick-bodied, stiff fish. And because crane food doesn't move fast, they don't need the kinds of thick neck muscles that give herons their lightning-fast reflexes. When a heron's heavy neck and bill are outstretched, much of its weight is forward of its surprisingly scrawny body. To stay aloft without stalling, herons pull their head way in to put their center of gravity where it must be for flight. Cranes have much heavier bodies, and their necks and bills are lighter both absolutely and relatively compared to herons, so they easily fly with their necks outstretched. Both cranes and herons fly with their legs trailing behind them. New body feathers for both sandhill cranes and great blue herons are a lovely shade of gray, but many sandhill cranes look far more rusty brown than gray. That's because when they preen, they often smear mud into their feathers, staining them with iron oxide. Cranes with this staining are much harder to see both while on the nest and during the flightless period while they raise their chicks. Crane chicks bear rusty-colored down feathers when they hatch, giving them that cryptic coloring automatically. The bold red of the forehead and forward part of the crown is not a plumage color, but is simply bare, bumpy skin. Blood rushing to the area intensifies the color during aggressive or sexual displays. Next time, I'll talk about the family lives of cranes. On my blog at lauraerickson.com, you can see photos and read more about sandhill cranes than you maybe wanted to know. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.